I hope you're going to enjoy tonight. We'll just go through our guests. Very soon we'll be hearing from Catherine Smith. And Catherine's going to talk about raw milk and other issues. So without further ado, let us go to Catherine Smith. Kia ora, Catherine.
Oh, kia ora, Vapi.
You had a good week?
I have had a good week, thank you. How about you?
Very good. Busy, isn't it?
It is getting busier and busier.
Yeah, and was that good news or what kind of news on Saturday?
I think a lot of people will actually end up feeling very disappointed about who they voted for.
Mm. I know. I've had a lot of people ring me and say, oh, no, if I'd have known such and such, I wouldn't have. I don't think things were as clear this time round.
You're right. And, I mean, what was interesting is, you know, a year or so ago, the West Auckland MP, I've just forgotten his name, put his, you know, popped his head up and said, Phil Goff's a nice guy, but he won't be able to win the election for Labour. Chris Carter. Mm. And, you know, unfortunately, he was 100% right.
Mm.
Because, you know, Phil Goff's preferred Prime Minister rating was so low, it meant that even people who generally supported the Labour Party didn't think he was the right person to be the Prime Minister. And I think that was probably a factor in the really low voter turnout. A lot of people probably just, you know, the election campaign didn't ignite for them, and they didn't feel that Phil Goff had it in him to be Prime Minister. And they thought, well, they must have thought, well, Key's doing sort of an okay job so far, and didn't think through the issues in terms of the fact that, you know, that, you know, in National has had a strategy all along. I mean, we're way off topic here, aren't we? But they've said all along that, you know, they were going to sell assets and various other things in their second term. And I think some people may have thought, well, you know, we've been having it pretty good this term, it'll continue that way. But I think people who were thinking that way, unfortunately, are going to realise that that wasn't the best. The best decision.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that some people are nice guys, but they're not, you know, what's the term? Not so much not leaders, but you've got to have a certain charisma about you.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, you know, and I mean, and there is with John Key, like it or not.
Mm.
But anyway, it's... And, of course, people don't necessarily look at the policies and its effects on people. Now, and I think that Labor only had one thing, and that was no sale of assets.
Yes.
There wasn't anything else that could spark you, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, their campaign was weak from that point of view because they said we won't sell assets, and that was obviously a positive, especially if, you know, you're sort of my age, you know, 40-ish or older, everybody will remember the 80s when the Labour government with the Rogernomics sold assets, and, you know, we had friends who lost their jobs and all sorts of stuff went down because of that. And, you know, everybody my age is old enough to remember that, but, you know, the young people who are voting today, they won't remember. They're too young.
Well,
they don't
know
what it's like when the government does decide to sell off assets.
Well, and the thing is that we're not hearing them. They've got different issues.
Well, that's true.
I went to a Māori University students meeting right here at Wātea, but I, you know, only for one day. I couldn't stay the whole time. But in any case, and I was listening to them. I mean, it's good for us older ones to sit back and listen to the young people. Mm. What are they concerned about? And their real issues, jobs. So what if they're at university? That doesn't guarantee them a job when they get out.
You're quite right.
And not only that, when they get out, as John Yellish said last week, a very well-qualified lawyer, he's working in a factory because that's a real job. That's going to bring in an income. He's going to be able to feed his family.
Yep.
So I think over a period of time we're going to see that universities are not going to be the aim in terms of education, because it doesn't guarantee you a job unless, and I think that each, well, either, well, national for a start, and others ought to be highlighting this. So, I mean, that was one thing that they were concerned about. The other thing, of course, has been an ongoing issue, is about the fees at university.
Yes.
You know, that's an ongoing issue. I mean, they slave their guts out learning, then they've got a big mortgage, you know, to pay afterwards.
That's right.
And where are the jobs? It's not here. So there's a huge exit out of this country. I do think that we've got to listen to the young people. They are the future.
True.
And so forth. And I don't know that there was too much attention paid to the young people. No wonder there were 90. Of the 90,000, now was it 90 or 100,000? 100,000. And 90% of those were students who don't vote.
Right.
Well, why would they vote?
Mm.
What's in it for them? I don't
know.
Yeah,
a good point. I mean, about the only party making jobs a focus was the Green Party. But
and,
you know,
and the Mana Party.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Mm. But they didn't get the publicity that,
no, that, Green
that the Greens did. You're right. Mm. But that's the trouble when you're a small party. Now the Greens are a medium-sized party. They're getting more publicity. But anyway, back to the Greens. From sort of greens to grass, shall we go? And from grass to cows, and from cows to milk.
All right. Okay, back to our subject.
I had your producer was just, had a little whisper in my ear.
All right.
Just a moment ago saying, you know, guys,
we'll
get
on the
back
topic.
To the milk topic.
That used to be a game. Did you play that? Were you old enough or young enough?
No.
That was a game. I've forgotten what the name of the game was. You had to, so the person would mention one object or subject or something, and then you had to do something like that to get to the
that would be
the
fun.
Answer.
That would be good.
So anyway, right,
anyway,
back to milk.
So back to raw milk.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the health benefits of raw milk first. Now, when we're talking about raw milk, we're talking about milk that basically comes straight from the cow into a chiller or a refrigerator. And it hasn't been heat treated with, or, you know, by being pasteurized or boiled or anything like that. And it, the health benefits are that it still has the enzymes that, because the heat treatments kill the enzymes in the milk. And you have, because it's still a living food, you've got much greater availability of the nutrients in the milk, like the calcium. And you also, sorry, I'm just slightly tired and losing focus here.
So the raw milk.
Yeah, right. You know, if it's from a cow that's quite recently given birth, it still has some of the colostrum in it, which helps boost your immune system. Those are the three sort of main benefits of raw milk. It still has the enzymes in it. It's essentially, it's still a more or less a living food. It has greater bioavailability of the minerals in it. And if the cow has given birth recently, it's quite high in colostrum, which can also boost your immune system. In terms of the potential negative effects on health, if you are drinking milk from a cow that's got an infection, potentially with no heat treatment of the milk, you are exposed to the bacteria that the cow has. And occasionally people do get sick from drinking milk from cows that have been unwell, or where there's been bad hygiene in terms of the storage of the milk. And in that case, you know, the most common infections that people get these days, if they do get an infection, which is uncommon, but the ones that people do tend to get, if they get one, which I know that sounds pretty bad, is occasionally salmonella or E. coli or, goodness me, is this flown? Bruce? No, we don't have a problem with brucellosis in New Zealand. The other one is listeria occasionally from raw milk. And so for that reason, if you had a very compromised immune system, probably raw milk would not be on the list of things that you should consume, just in case there was some bacterial contamination, if you're particularly vulnerable to an infection. And similarly, it's not recommended as a general rule during pregnancy because of the risk of listeria. But other than that, you know, if it's come from healthy cows from a farmer who makes sure that they're well looked after and pays good attention to hygiene from organic cows, you have a very safe product and something that tastes wonderful. I remember, like last week, you talked about how you grew up drinking raw milk straight from the cow, and were very healthy drinking raw milk straight from the cow. And we also discussed the taste, you know, how once you've had raw milk, pasteurized milk, it tastes incredibly inferior. Mm. You can taste that it's no longer a living food. And it's a great shame that, you know, you can't get raw milk in New Zealand easily the way you can in lots of countries in Europe where they have this tradition of consuming raw milk. Now, if you're in a city, it's very hard to get raw milk, and for that reason people have been forming raw milk clubs. And essentially, that people get together and farmers are allowed to supply 5 litres of raw milk per person per day. And in a raw milk club, generally people take it in turns to drive out to the farm and collect a large amount of milk and then share it among the friends in the club so that you don't have everybody driving out to the farm gate, which is, you know, a ridiculous waste of time and money and petrol. Now, that's all been well and good, except that raw milk has become more popular recently because people are cottoning on to the fact that it does have health benefits as long as you're, you know, prepared to be sensible and realise that there are possible risks as well. And the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries essentially wants to stop people being able to access raw milk. And it's proposing amendments to legislation which would make raw milk clubs illegal and also restrictions on the amount of milk that farmers are able to sell in a single day. And such severe restrictions, in fact, that it would become uneconomic for most farmers to supply raw milk, which would mean that if you live in a city, you basically wouldn't be able to get raw milk. You'd probably be able to keep drinking raw milk if you lived in the country and your next-door neighbour had a few cows that, you know, you milk for home milking purposes, but beyond that, raw milk, access to raw milk will essentially be curtailed. And the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries seems to be quite prepared to basically tell everybody in New Zealand what they can and can't eat. Ostensibly, the reason that they're giving is that if people did become sick from raw milk, it might create a food safety scare that might taint New Zealand's image as a dairy producer. Now, I was looking on the net today, and as I said, you know, every so often people do get sick from drinking raw milk that's not been produced well or stored correctly. And I was looking at all this data on illness and hospitalizations in the USA, and it's not causing a lot of problems considering how many millions of people there are in the USA. And nobody is saying don't drink U.S. pasteurized milk because a few people who've been drinking raw milk have gotten sick. So I think that, you know, the risk perception for New Zealand's dairy industry is not a good reason to prevent ordinary people from drinking raw milk if they want to. After all, you know, people need to be able to have a choice over what they eat. Let's face it. It's not right for a government department to make regulations to prevent anybody from eating something. Mm. You know, just the way that, you know, most things that adults want to do are legal. You know, nobody has banned potato chips, even though they're bad for you. So, you know, raw milk certainly shouldn't be made unavailable because it's good for you. Or because if somebody was foolish, and you know, bought some raw milk from a farmer, then left it outside in the sun for 3 days until it went, you know, with no cover on it, until bacteria from the air, you know, settled into it and you know, and started growing in it, and then they drank it and got sick. Well, you know, that would be no reason to ban raw milk either. And so what's being done about this? There's a website that you can go and visit called milk.org.nz, and they've just actually updated the website a few days ago, so that now if you want to make a submission, it's really easy. If you just scroll down the front page of it, and you'll see a little graphic of a cow, sort of a dancing cow, and then it says, send in your submission to MAF before December the 5th, and December the 5th is Monday. If you have email access, you can send it on December the 5th, as long as it gets there before 4 p.m. And just below this dancing cow, you just click here to go to our new quick submission template, where basically they have a submission which is basically written for you. All you have to do is add your name and address and a few personal comments, and email it to the correct address. Now, I think it's really only if we get a massive amount of people sending in submissions that MAF will realize that it may not be a good idea to try and stomp all over everybody's human rights to eat and drink what they like. If nobody bothers sending in submissions, they'll think that they have a mandate to do just as they want, and they've already said in their discussion document that you know, the option that they want, which is basically they want to restrict the amount of milk, as I said, that farmers are able to sell from their farm gate, and they want to make it legal only if someone actually gets the milk from the farmer's gate. So, you know, if you think about it, that means that virtually nobody will get it, because if you think about how often you actually want to buy milk, ideally you don't want to have raw milk sitting in, even under refrigeration. It's best, you know, for 3 or 4 days. It will last for up to a week in the fridge, but it's like anything, you know, if you have a broccoli sitting in your fridge for 7 days, it may be edible at the end of 7 days. It's not nearly as good as if you ate it the day you bought it from the grocery store. And, you know, this does start to lose nutrients with storage. So, you know, I'm just encouraging everybody to make a submission, because if there are not a lot of submissions, MAF will be encouraged to basically stomp everybody over everybody's rights and say, well, if you live in the city, too bad, you just have to drink pasteurized milk whether you like it or not, or drive out to a farm. And if you can't drive out to a farm because you don't have a car, or the farm is too far away, and you don't have the time, or you don't have the money for the petrol, well, it's just too bad. That's MAF's attitude. That's what they want to force upon us. So we need some people power here to, you know, say to MAF, you know, it's my human right to put into my body the food that I want, and the, you know, and to feed my family the food that I know is good and wholesome, and I'm prepared to take responsibility for the small risk from drinking raw milk in terms of possible infections, and I'll, you know, I will be a sensible consumer, and I will make sure that I buy from a reliable farmer who's farming organically. And I've got lots of friends, and you probably do have lots of friends, even if you don't know it. There's raw milk clubs are quite popular now. If you actually start asking around, you're bound to find somebody in your circle of friends and acquaintances who's drinking raw milk. My husband just wants to say something.
Yes, there's also the farmer's market.
Well, that's right.
That sells fresh raw milk.
Yes, I don't know which ones they are in Auckland,
well,
but I have
they're all over the place. There's one in, Newmarket, Parnell,
yep.
Epsom. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Blockhouse Bay. Just find out. I think if you go on the web, you'll see where they are. Where's the nearest one to you?
Yes.
And what days?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if MAF manages to change the law the way they want to, it won't be legal for farmers to supply raw milk to customers at a market. the only way people will be able to get raw milk is to be drive out to a farm, which is simply impractical for most people who live in cities.
Yeah, but for us who are living in the cities, well, that's the first port of call, I would say, is a farmer's market.
Yeah.
They come to the cities and they come from the rural areas.
That's right.
Which is
the sensible way of doing it.
Yeah.
They have one person, the person who produces the milk, and, you know, who packs it into hygienic containers and brings it in chillers or whatever into the city and gives it to people, or you know, obviously they sell it to people, rather than having, you know, dozens of their customers driving from the city to the country and back again, and causing, you know, wasting a lot of time and causing a lot of pollution in the process. So anyway, if we want to regain that right, please everybody do take, you know, 5 minutes to send a submission by email using that ready-made submission template. And then, you know, hopefully we can maintain the right and the ability to drink raw milk wherever in New Zealand you live for the future, not just for us, but, you know, children and grandchildren.
This topic is really popular all over the world. Now, you know, that in other countries too, people are being prevented for similar reasons, prevented from drinking raw milk.
That's right. I mean, there was actually an armed raid on a sort of a co-op shop that was supplying raw foods, including raw milk, in the USA within the last 2 months. There is essentially a war going on over food. We sort of touched on this last week. You've got these very big agrochemical companies. It's interesting that they call them agrochemical companies because they are pretty agro, who've developed all these hybrid seeds and high-yield seeds and patented seeds. And, you know, we also talked about the seeds they developed with the so-called terminated technology, which makes the seeds sterile. So once they've grown, they'll grow for one season and the farmer can't save the seeds for next season, as people have been doing for thousands upon thousands of years. So you've got, like, sort of a seed control agenda from these big agrochemical companies. And then overall, all over the world, large enterprises have been buying up huge amounts of land, and for monoculture Africa. You know, we heard quite a lot in the 90s about companies buying up tracts of rainforest in Brazil and, you know, cutting and burning down the trees and then growing soybeans to feed to American cattle to turn into hamburgers, you know, ruining the rainforest so that people could, you know, eat a real cheap hamburger. And more recently, you know, there's very beautiful soil in a lot of parts of Africa. I mean, we tend to see on the news the parts of Africa where there are significant problems with drought, where people are starving, but a large belt of Africa is near the equator. They get abundant rainfall and have wonderful volcanic mineral-rich soil. And those areas, people are suffering from hunger, not because the land won't produce food, but because multinational companies have bought up large tracts of the land and they're growing cash crops for export. And that, you know, things like fancy lettuces and such to go to Europe in the middle of winter. Whereas previously the land would have been, you know, essentially probably in the ownership of various villages and been growing foods, you know, local consumption, you know, traditional foods like millet and corn and peanuts and the various other grains. I've forgotten the name of them. They're sorghum and things are quite popular in Africa. Tend to grow different grains there from in other countries. So, and then you have the big dairy companies like, you know, we have Fonterra here, and you know, we have big dairy companies all over the world variously trying to dictate to consumers what they eat and drink. And, you know, we're very lucky in New Zealand from the point of view that Europe won't take milk that has a hormone in it that's given to cows to make them produce more milk, mm-hmm. called bovine growth hormone, or BGH for short. That's in use all over America, and the dairy industry there is so powerful that if you're a small dairy company, and there is, or a small company that's making like a specialist sort of dairy product, and there is one in Vermont where my husband John used to live called Ben and Jerry's, and they only took milk from farms that didn't use this BGH. And the reason they didn't use the BGH-tainted milk was because BGH is associated with terrible outcomes for animal health. It forces the cows to produce much more milk than they otherwise would, and they end up with massive problems from the mastitis, and then, of course, they need more antibiotics, so that the milk ends up with antibiotics in it. Plus, the bovine growth hormone, it ends up in the milk, and it is not good for your human health to be drinking milk laced with that stuff. Mm. But the dairy industry in the USA is so powerful that they prevented Ben and Jerry's and other companies, small companies that wanted to do so, to take, it only bought bovine growth hormone free milk, from saying that this product is made from milk, which is from cows that have not had bovine growth hormone in it. So, not only was there no labeling requirement, so that consumers could avoid products, were produced from cows which were treated in this very cruel manner, but, companies where they didn't subscribe to this, use of this hormone, which was bad for animal health and bad for human health, weren't even allowed to inform the public of their stand against it. And the situation isn't too much different in New Zealand, unfortunately. Fonterra has just cut back on its organic dairy program, and one of the reasons they're doing that is because they don't want international consumers to realise that, New Zealand conventional dairy products are not the best in the world. New Zealand conventional dairy products have got a very good overseas reputation, and compared to many overseas dairy products, for example the ones from the USA, our dairy products are better because we don't use the bovine growth hormone here, and because we've got a better climate. And in most of New Zealand, cows are outside all year round, and it's hard for them when it's cold, but they produce healthier milk because they're eating almost exclusively grass, at least until very recently, and now they tend to use some feed supplements as well. But you get a better grass, better quality milk from grass-fed cows. Mm. But, of course, what's better quality milk than the standard New Zealand milk is, of course, New Zealand organic milk. And Fonterra was getting concerned, I have been told, that, the New Zealand organic milk was showing up the New Zealand non-organic milk, and that's one of the reasons that they have reduced their support for it, and they're going to move to sort of organic, some very limited niche market organic specialty product.
Right.
Rather than developing the internationally growing market for organic milk products per se, simply because they don't. My husband's bringing me a drink of water, thank you, darling.
Well, that's good news for New Zealand. We're producing something that's healthier
than
most countries.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it's a big shame that, Fonterra isn't supporting the organic dairy industry the way that it used to and the way that it should be. Mm. And, potentially there's more money there and much better environmental outcomes, because organic farming reduces water pollution significantly if you're using organic fertilizers rather than the synthetic ones. You get less nitrates leaching into the groundwater and causing problems.
Right.
Quite apart from anything else. But we're a little bit off topic here, and I don't want to go over time because I know you've got another guest coming.
Well, look, thank you so much for that. Raw milk, folks. You've just heard it all. We'll do a recap somewhere during the program.
Yep, milk.org.nz,
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay, so thank you very much, Catherine.
You're most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
That's great.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Okay. Take care. Thank you for having me.
Good night.